This is the Golden Thread Interviews with your host. So happy to be talking with Taya Malka Spillman. Taya Malka creates space for the divine within her being on a daily basis through prayer, meditation, and altar work. She uses watercolor to create feminine, whimsical, and spiritual images. In her spare time, she loves to strum a ukulele on the mountaintops and sings in spiritual communal spaces. Taya Malka's work is available for purchase on her website, cmsinspirit.com. She offers a variety of products, including custom artwork, artwork prints, greeting cards, pins, and stickers. So, Taya Malka, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome. Hi.
Hello. So, I've seen your work. It's very beautiful. And I'm really curious, what was your kind of your life path that took you to being an artist?
Well, I definitely did not start out with this intention, like what I have currently. And I definitely feel very grateful and blessed to have the space and the time and the freedom to kind of practice often. And yeah, I went to college for a business degree, actually. And I kind of realized it was not fulfilling in my soul. Like, I was good at it. Like, I had skills that were useful, but I did not feel like that's what I was meant to be doing. And so I kind of transitioned between working in an office to working in Jewish education by working for a school for a while. And then I eventually ended up at Teva, at Isabella Friedman. That's a retreat center in Northwest Connecticut. And so I've spent a lot of time here, and I've worked for like the various programs that are on this land, the Mahican land. And so outdoor education and then farm work is kind of something that attracted me because it linked very much with like the earth roots Jewish path. And spiritual meditative work. So I could do that while I was living on this land. So I've just kind of been here for a while, working in different capacities and volunteering. And during that time, I really just had time to create a lot of art, and I involved it in my spiritual practices. And I feel like my art is very much a spiritual practice for me. Yes. So although I'm open for commissions, and it is how I'm making income somewhat now, it's also a very delicate practice, exchanging like my art for money, because sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So it's, for me, it feels like a channeling, and it's also very sensitive work for me. So that's kind of how I ended up where I am right now. And I started my own business, I guess. even though it's like also a practice for me. So it's,
I understand.
So thanks.
That's a good, I just want to make a comment that what you said about it being delicate, I think that is for me as well, you know, like making something beautiful is, I feel personally, I am channeling things that are bigger than me, you know, and like that, I for myself, like the thing I really love about creative work is that I always feel like it's not just me. So I could say like, yeah, I did do that. But I also feel like there's something bigger than me that's sort of working through me and inspiring me, or just giving me that impulse of like, wow, I really, that's what I really want to create. Like, I really want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. That it definitely feels like that. Like, I think that that's, in a spiritual way, that's kind of how I view like faith as well. And like, mm-hmm. that's kind of how it's linked into my artwork in that way. It's kind of like, yes, I take all the actions. Like, I have all these tools and I have the time and I sit down and I'm the one that does it.
Right.
And also, like, I'm drawing on like source, essentially.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I think it's like a, I don't know if I'd say co-create. That doesn't quite feel like the right word, but it does feel sort of like I don't, like, if I did it without spiritual inspiration or support, I would be creating things that are really different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they wouldn't yes. have, you know, like, your work has that, you know. Before I go on, would you be okay, like, maybe describing in a little more detail, like, your style? Because you've got a pretty distinctive style. And sure, I yeah. can use words, but, like, in your own words, like, yeah, talk about your style a little bit.
So interesting.
It's distinctive.
Yeah, it is. So I think we started out saying that a similarity we share in our art is whimsicalness. Mm-hmm. I think there's a certain, like, whimsy coupled with like dreaminess.
Mm-hmm. I think
a lot of my artwork is like as if it's a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and so there's a lot of like sparkles and there's a lot of source energy. Mm-hmm. And it comes out a lot in like celestial art and plant, earth, tree, goddess, feminine imagery. Mm-hmm. And what else?
There's a lot of color. Like, you use a lot of color in your work.
Yeah.
It's not I wouldn't say you use neutral tones, which is one of the reasons it feels so feminine to me.
Hmm. You're saying the color makes it feel feminine to you?
It feels like saturated. You use saturated colors. So although they might be feminine, like, you might use pink and it's mm-hmm. kind of a pale pink, the color is, for me at least, like, I see a lot of color in your work and it draws yes. my eyes to different parts of your images.
Yes. It's and all of that is just, I feel like that's a manifestation of like intuition. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have schooling in this. I mean, I'm grateful to have felt supported like throughout my life in various ways in my creativity. And my creativity has always been appreciated. And I think that like gave me the freedom to explore it more. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, I just kind of am like, I'm trying to capture a feeling. Mm. And that feeling is expressed, I think, through a lot of color for me.
Mm. I like that. Yeah. You also use, the other thing I like about your work is you use Hebrew letters, calligraphy. Do you write like little messages or prayers in your work? I don't really read Hebrew particularly well, but I'm very struck, you know, I always see, you know, oftentimes I'll see some sort of Hebrew calligraphy or that type of thing. So do you write little messages or prayers in there?
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah,
sorry, cool. Truck passing. So I'm just making sure I was hearing all the things you're saying.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so I feel very connected to the Jewish faith and singing like biblical texts and so in my art, I think it's kind of like a visual manifestation of that. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of familiarity with Hebrew. I grew up in, you know, more right-wing Orthodox spheres, so I have education in that way. I also like read chant Hebrew, and mm-hmm. like, so now I'm part of the Kohanic community, and recently I read for them in Hebrew, and yeah, so all this just to describe like my connection with Hebrew and biblical text. And And yeah, so I'm looking for a teacher to teach me how to do it in the scribal way so I can, you know, write mezuzot or tefillin or Torah. So that's still in the works. And I think the way that I write it is like the feeling of that for me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what I have to say about that.
Okay. No, that's really, it's another aspect of your work that I like, thanks. For me about, trying to find the words here. They're like little prayers or little messages from the divine. And they're like tucked away in the designs, and you may not immediately see them. You may be like me and I can't even, you know, read them necessarily, but it feels like there's just something like a connection to the greater spirit that mm-hmm. is in your work. So that offers more, it's just like another thing that I enjoy, you know, that kind of feels like, yeah, I really, yeah, for sure. I like that very much.
Thank you.
Because sometimes I've purchased clothes. I don't know if you've ever like seen like t-shirts or there used to be a line of clothes and they would sew little things, like little tags in the clothes or on the mm-hmm. t-shirt. And you don't see it unless you kind of like look closely at it. So mm-hmm. it's almost like there's like a little secret mm-hmm. message in there for you. What I mean? Yeah,
it's very subtle. I think that's my worldview, that like the divine is there, always there, mm-hmm. and it's sparkly and magical, and like mm-hmm. there's hints. It's yeah. not blatant.
That's I think you just perfectly said that. I really like that a lot.
Thank you.
Tell me about what kinds of things you do on the farm.
Ooh, okay.
Like chicken.
So, so I love sharing good things about this place.
Yeah.
The people that work here are really wise and knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. And I learn a lot. Like, they're my teachers in a lot of ways. And mm-hmm. I feel very supported by this community. So.
Good.
Anyway, it's the Ottumwa Farm at Isabella Friedman, and I've worked with them in various capacities between my Teva seasons, my Jewish outdoor education work here. So during that time, I've done lots of different projects, and also right now, currently, I'm supporting the farm staff. They're working on a CSA, you know, they sell portions of what we grow to community members in our okay. area.
Okay.
So I'm not working in that directly. I'm kind of like helping the crops that are growing. I'm like weeding cool. and spending time there. And I also basically open the gates and close the gates of the farm. I tend for the animals of the farm. So there's goats on campus, like cool. down by the lake. On Isabella Friedman, there's like two sets of goats, and I care for them and bring them to pasture, make sure everybody's fed. What'd you say?
Do you milk them?
Yeah. Cool. They're currently in the phase where they had babies, so we've been milking them for a bunch of months.
That's
and
nice.
we're weaning them right now. Their season of milking is ending.
Okay.
And yeah, so it's a really special experience. I've also been to like a ritual slaughter of
goats
one year. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to understand the life cycle of mm-hmm. of life, essentially.
Yes.
And that our actions have impact mm-hmm. and understanding our relationship
yeah.
with the land and beings. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of education I've got here.
Do they have goats? Do they have chickens? Do they have sheep?
Yeah, they have chickens as well. So they have goats. The chickens are in the compost yard. And they help break down the food waste that we bring up from campus. So it's basically another mini life cycle, like keeping all everything that we can make compostable with the retreats that are going on here is compostable. And so that's like cups, forks, spoons, plates, if they can. And there's a way we kind of like fold them into this, the decomposing pile, and peck at it. It gets really hot. They're living there, and I take care of them, make sure they have food, water, hang out with them. Sometimes chickens die. I buried a chicken. I buried a few recently, and that's also like the being very close in the life cycle and understanding impact. And yeah, I think working here has definitely changed me. And now it's kind of like, so it's a very, I think this is a learning time for me. I'm here through the growing season. Right now is what I've been told, and we'll see if I can stay for longer. It's hard to really know because of COVID. And because it's a retreat center, so there's complexity there, and I'm just being present in what I have right now. I'm in the yard of where I live. I really enjoy being close to the land, and it's like really, it really overlaps with my way of practicing Judaism currently and my spiritual growth path, and also my like artistic development path. All these things are linked together.
I agree. It's synergistic, you know, and it's cool when you're in an environment that like it works on you. So like,
what do you mean?
Just thinking about like you had been talking about, like you had worked in an office, right? Like a more conventional office setting versus being in nature. And I know that when I'm in nature, I feel so strongly my connection with many things that are larger than me and with the not human world. And I find I need time in the not human world, almost like to recover emotionally. I don't know how to say that better. I just find that I was in kind of a town on the river near the Continental Divide last week. And it's really difficult to see the mountains, or even when you're with chickens or goats. And they remind me that I am not, the world does not begin and end with people. You know, the world is pretty vast and it's pretty amazing. And it feels for me really good to kind of like move above, like kind of somehow a little bit expanding beyond the human world and the concerns of the human world, and to see that there's so much more that has nothing to do with us.
Yeah, it's so true. Yes, it's definitely, I think nature is perspective for sure. And it's definitely like, I definitely feel much more in harmony with nature, because I think right now as humans, we're having a lot of issues. We have a lot of trauma, and people need to heal. And that's like, that's kind of how I feel about, you know, things going on. And for me, this is my way of healing.
Yes.
From the toxicity that's going on. So that's what I'm doing, and I'm doing it really loudly. I don't know. And I like that, and I don't like that. And I think I'm just, you know, talking about being an artist and what that means to me, that it's, I have a very complex relationship with it. Even this interview is kind of a stretch for me, you know, to kind of like identify in this way. And I think it's a level of vulnerability to be an artist. So I think that, it's brave. And I think that it's okay to name that it's complex.
I have a question about, you know, like you mentioned a few times about sort of this tenderness about being an artist and the fear and what kinds of things like feel like obstacles where like you feel stuck and how do you move through that?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question in that the way I move through art is kind of the way I move through life because it's a parallel for me. And kind of like I mentioned earlier that like sometimes that's very easy and like they explain it in a way that I can feel it. And then I'm just like, okay, here's the piece. And they're like, wow, amazing. And then there are some people who are like, yes, and can you do it like this?
Right.
And then, yes, and this I don't like. And because it's like, so it's so linked to what I'm experiencing. It's very hard sometimes for me to like, sometimes I can work through that and sometimes I can't.
How do you work through it? Like, what do you do personally to sort of work through it?
Yeah, well, I think the art already comes after meditation. Okay. A lot of it is learning how to recognize how answers feel in my body. Mm-hmm. So that's something I'm doing a lot of exploring in Kohana as well, which is like how to tap into where am I at intuitively in my being, and that can give me the answers. And so I just need to sit very still and listen, and then I can feel. And that sounds so hippie when I say it.
No, it doesn't at all. And it feels actually like when, you know, like that concept of stillness, you know, like it's in the Bible, right? Like be still. And I find stillness really hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of my guides is always like, you know, stillness and you need more stillness and practice more stillness. And I find it really difficult. You know, our culture is not a culture that allows for very much in the way of stillness.
Yes, I think that's also why I feel the way I'm practicing is so radical, is because I'm not allowing this culture to tell me how to be. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't look at like advertising stuff. I'm very much like I'm becoming more conscious about my consumption habits and in many ways. And I think that we can create the space for ourselves. Like we don't have to do that capitalistic, oppressive way.
Right.
And the thing is that I say that and we're all linked. So it's really a global issue. It's not just me, but it's like really balancing between like what can I do for myself to create the space for myself and I live to what I'm feeling most fulfilled by, and how do I like also know that I'm part of a larger world and that we really need to make change in that larger world.
Yeah,
which is where I struggle with more. Like it's for me, and my strength is like my self-exploration as example for teaching, I think, and inspiring. And then I think that my work is to educate myself and learn more and be more aware of what's going on and not to totally block myself from it, to also recognize my place and being implicit in systems and how do we change that. And yeah, so I think this is not a short-term journey.
No.
I think it's a very long-term thing, and I don't know if it will always look like me being an artist and me being so public in the way that I am currently.
Right. Yeah.
And also, like, that'll be fine. Whatever it is that I need for my growth in that time will be fine. And this is kind of like how I am right now.
Right. It's cool it's cool. I mean, it's I'm thinking about like what you said and how that's the challenge. I think at least it's been for me, when I talk about this golden thread, and the golden thread is, The thing I find with the golden thread is you usually see the next stitch in the fabric, maybe the two next stitches, but you, and having gone to business school, as you know, in business, you know, like business is about very much actually about reducing uncertainty, right? Mm-hmm. And making things predictable. Like I know people who, they do business plans and they're all about, you know, predictable and profitable and all that kind of stuff. And I have found for my own life, there are probably some people for whom, you know, long-term planning is something that like works pretty well for them. But for myself, I've realized like for me to even try to predict more than 3 months in advance, you know, I can, you know, I mean, we can assume, make certain assumptions, but I, you know, like for myself, like I can't say, like, I couldn't even tell you what I'll be painting in 3 months necessarily.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true for me also.
Yeah. Like you just like, I hate to commit to that. I want to go back for a minute to what you had said about this tricky, I think it is such a tricky intersection between business and art. Mm-hmm. I think business and art are like there is a sweet spot there that can be found, but I also think they have a very prickly relationship because I came out of marketing and advertising. So I came very much out of the, you know, you create what your client wants and your creativity is useful, but it is not, you know, but you understand what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah.
I could look at something and say, you know, like, you know, this is the logo I think that would really be good for you. This really fits who you are. It is. In fact, I did have a situation and the client was like, no way, no way. It's too soft. It's too, you know, we want something that is more like, They just wanted something that sounded a lot more conventional and sadly they wanted to sound like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And they had hired me specifically because they said, we want to know what makes us special so we don't sound like everybody else. And then in the end, that's for me, it's so challenging because that's where for myself, I really feel that I am using my intuition and source and all these other, you know, things that I have to offer. And it can be really scary for people.
Yeah, I think that I'm just processing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think that knowing what they want and being able to get something like everybody else is not why people come to me. I think that people are kind of looking for something.
Okay, good.
Yeah, specific. Mm-hmm. And also, I think it's like, it's exploring these co-creations, really.
Okay.
It's kind of how I view client.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, it's like working with someone.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
Yeah, and I also think that like, it's not typical the way I operate with in regard to business, and I think that's okay, and like it's kind of being an artist is like I get to be whatever I want to be, and so yeah, I think that's still something that I'm going to be working with because it's always going to be like you said, there's this tension there. It's like a prickly relationship between like. Yeah, like right now I volunteer. I don't make an income from doing the work here. I get room and board and I love that because that gives me freedom. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, if I could get paid to do practice work for me, which is like art, if it feels aligned, then that's a nice thing.
Yeah, I think it's happening to do that. And I think too with art, you know, you were talking about, you know, getting paid and I've kind of like, I've had my own evolution in realizing sometimes we just do stuff because it makes people feel good. Mm-hmm. You know, like, as I told you, you know, like your art is delightful and it's a pleasure to look at it. You know, sometimes that's enough. Mm-hmm. In fact, that might be more than enough. just to make people feel happy or challenge whatever it is they're wanting.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. And that's definitely part of, like, there's connection seeking, I think, in art.
Yes, and I absolutely agree.
Yes, I definitely think that there's that.
And if I may, like, I'll make one more point because I'm just looking at our time. And one of the things that I really like that you do is that you take your art and you turn it into little products and objects that people can have. And, you know, not all artists want to do that. I personally have always felt very attracted to that because I really love the idea of people having something that is beautiful or pleasurable to look at, and they have it in many different forms. So, you know, like, isn't it nice that you do have, magnets and stickers, and I'm sure you have many other ideas about how you might, you know, like, other things you might put your art on. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they'd be really cool, like, on a calendar.
Ooh, that's a cool idea.
Yeah. I like that idea of, like, having, I was just thinking that the new year is coming up, and I don't think you had any New Year cards.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, why don't you have New Year cards? You know, you should do
them. I did that last year.
You did? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I have them. I could re-advertise them. It's the same design.
Yeah. That's, why not?
Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, because when I looked at your cards, I was looking for something for, like, you know, just always looking for, like, cards that are, like, not the same sort of boring imagery, you know?
Yeah, and totally.
So I'm anyway.
I can send you a link. You can see.
Okay, that'd be cool. So in finishing, is there anything else that you want to share? Like, anything else that really would like to be shared?
Oh, thanks. What'd you say?
With people listening, is there anything else that
you'd
like people to know about you, or, like, something about yourself that you just, you know, really wants to be shared?
Nothing's coming to mind.
Feeling pretty complete?
Yeah.